In the open session, would you believe we've made it to the open session of council, and it's 8:35 p.m. 3 hours into the meeting, we've got to motions of which notice has been given, and we have a notice of motion from Councillor Fox. Would you like to move it?
Thank you, Mayor.
And you're looking for a seconder, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Fox.
Thank you. I must thank Councillor Midgley because she's done a lot of background work on this and helped me get the motion to the place where it is now after I was approached by local residents and council because... I'll read the motion, that Council obtain a licence from the Crown to take responsibility for maintenance of the steps at Wingara Beach, located at the beginning of Wingara Road across from 15 Wingara Road in Howden. And then this is a... Wingara Beach is a lovely beach, but it's steadily eroding, and it's an important asset for the community to have the steps that are safe and get over the coastal erosion, and means that you don't have to step down a vertical drop to get to the beach, which is very popular for both locals and people from all around Kingston Blackens Bay who come there and swim in the late afternoon sunshine, or take boats down there and go fishing. I'm really pleased also with the officer's report that says this is not creating a precedent and we're not going to expose council to unreasonable risk or liability by taking on this Crown lease. And I'm also very pleased that it is only over the steps that we're asking for this Crown lease to be, and not over the entire length of foreshore, which has been the case in other areas, but that has not occurred in Snug, where their steps have recently been approved, and this would also, we've been assured, would not occur in this area. So in that regard, I look forward to the debate and hope that you can support the motion. Thank you.
It looks like the debate has closed. The motion was moved by Councillor Fox and seconded by Councillor Mitchell, and it's the council obtained a licence from the Crown to take responsibility for maintenance of the steps at Wingara Beach, located at the beginning of Wingara Road, across from 15 Wingara Road, Howden. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion is carried. Petition still being actioned. No petitions are being actioned. Petitions received in the last period. No petitions were received. Officers' reports to council. Councillor workshop policy recommendation on page 205. Who would like to move that? Councillor Westwood, and seconded by Councillor Mitchell. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. We have before us tonight a councillor workshop policy with a recommendation that we adopt the policy as printed in our agenda paper. This came about following an incident that we discussed earlier in the night, because that incident happened in a workshop and it came to light that we didn't really have any governance arrangements around our workshops. For the purposes of people listening at home and here with us tonight, council meets roughly every second Monday, and on the Monday that we don't meet, we have a workshop. And the purpose of the workshop, they're more informal, and they're to provide us with information, and we have consultants come in to talk to us. We have members of state government departments to talk to us about, for example, park and ride issues. And it's a forum for us to ask questions about complex matters that will be considered formally when they come to council. We don't make any decisions, but it is really useful to inform our decision making when we get to the table. So we currently have no governance arrangements in place for the conduct of councillor workshops, and there's no legislative requirement to do so. Councillor Paula Reet put forth a notice of motion for council to record all future workshops, and as part of discussing that notice of motion, it was determined that we develop a councillor workshop policy which would encompass a lot more than just recording workshops. So I'm happy with the policy as presented. One thing I would like to just note is the distribution of council workshop papers. If we could have them via email, it makes it easier to go back and search for things after the fact. But I appreciate that we get sent invitations and that we get sent the papers in advance of workshops. It's really useful. So I urge my colleagues to support the workshop, council workshop policy.
Councillor Reid.
Thank you. And thank you to Councillor Westwood for moving this. I think it's good that we're going to actually have a formal structure now for our workshops. I know that, in fact, former Councillor Richard Atkinson, he had started discussion about this when he was a member of this council, so it's good to see this coming to fruition, and particularly to have a more overarching policy that will look at all aspects of how we operate workshops. I do think that we have come quite a way in the last couple of years in the way that we do workshops, and that's thanks to the Mayor putting some structure around it in terms of, you know, when they're held, for how long, etc. And that's been good to see that we've had that. But this just goes a step further to formalise it, and will allow them to be recorded. The only thing that I am a little concerned about, and it does relate to the incident that we talked about earlier that occurred at a workshop on the 2nd of November, and that is at the time, at that workshop, the Mayor as Chair had some difficulty in understanding whether he had the power to ask Councillor Grace to leave the workshop when he disrupted that meeting. And it turns out, as is stated here in the paper, that the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations only extend to council meetings and not to workshops. And I think that is a real flaw, because that basically says, well, you need to behave in council meetings, but everything else is fair game. I think given the serious nature of what we've discussed today, we do need to have a mechanism within this policy to cover that, and so I have provided an amendment that I hope that the mover and seconder will accept, and I've forwarded that to Mrs. Morton, if she could put that up. And it's to add a new clause 5.2.1.4, which would read, the chair of the meeting may ask a councillor or staff member to leave a meeting if they disrupt the workshop's proceedings or do not behave in accordance with their respective codes of conduct. And then the remaining clauses would be renumbered accordingly. So I've worded it for it to be consistent with other clauses of the proposed policy that we have before us. And I would hope that those around the table could support that. I think it will give an assurance to those who, in future, who are chairing workshops, that if somebody does behave in a way that is prevents the workshop from going ahead, for whatever reason, that there is the power to remove somebody from the room so that the rest of us can continue with the work that we would like to do. So I'd request your support for that, and I support this policy wholeheartedly.
So just to get on the record, the mover and seconder are happy with what's proposed?
Yes.
Can we get the words up on the screen, Ms. Moore?
Can I just provide some clarification, because Councillor Westwood just asked me. I'm not proposing to delete the existing clause 5.2.1.4. It's just to add a new one in there before the existing 5.2.1.4 and then renumber the others.
Is that clear enough? Yep, okay. We're happy. I think Councillor Bass Fox Councillor Fox, and then Bastos, and then Bastow. No, Councillor Fox, and then Councillor Bastow.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I do support this policy, but I do have concerns around budget workshops, because I know, in the interest of transparency, that we often have in-depth discussions about programs and capital works expenditure and things that we discuss as being important or relevant, and try and work out the percentage that we're going to call at the final budget meeting. And I know we don't make decisions at these meetings, but the conversations are often in-depth. We've got a huge amount of paperwork. And none of that conversation and none of that information actually goes to the public. And I'm concerned that the public are interested. They want to know. They want to know the background to the decision-making process, particularly around budgets. And I'm wondering whether it's possible to consider budget workshops as a separate type of workshop.
General Manager, Mr. Smee. Oh, Mr. Moll, apologies.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. Look, we could, through the policy where it suggests that under public consultation, when the report for the financial situation comes before council, that the public consultation includes the discussions that would have been had at workshops. So there is a requirement for that to take place.
So would that be the actual documents that we receive at the workshop, or the ones that come out of the workshop?
So that would probably be up to the General Manager in terms of what was spoken about at the workshop and what would be conveyed in that report.
You can see Gary, Mr. Arnold's face is a bit concerned still.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Fox, I understand where you're coming from. The dilemma I'm having in the context of this discussion is that budget workshops, the discussions you're talking about, are preliminary to enable the council to actually prepare a draft budget. And because of the very nature of those discussions, I think there will be times when those matters are best kept in-house for a whole host of reasons. For example, I can think of lots of examples, but I don't want to name specifics. But the point I'm trying to make, Councillor Fox, is that whilst I understand where you're coming from, I do think that the policy is designed to capture the intent of the notice of motion that was moved by Councillor Reet. I think that the extra dimension that you're adding at the moment is something that, quite frankly, I prefer to workshop with the council before it went any further.
Thank you.
Councillor Bastow.
Thank you. Mine's just a question on page 208, communication. All staff, councillors, customers, members of the public available free of charge at the Civic Centre and on council website. What is free of charge? Is this talking about what we talk about in it? Is it talking about this document is free of charge for people to read? I just don't understand what the communication means.
Mr. Malt. Mm-hmm.
Through Mayor, it's relating to the policy being available to the public. That's standard wording for all the policies that are made available over the counter on the website.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Very briefly, I wholeheartedly support this policy and also the intention behind the policy, and speaking, I guess, back to my words earlier at this meeting, that I thank Councillor Reid for instigating these measures. I think they are good, and they will bring greater transparency but also greater accountability. And it establishes a framework, which is an important one, and it makes things very clear. And so I will be supporting it. I've just noticed whilst we were doing a close reading of this that at 5.4.2, the word general manager needs an extra A in it. And that's the closest I think I've... so
we can fix that.
In addition to that, I would like to say that, I think it... I've pointed out a number of times in my role as councillor that the need for participatory budgeting is something that I think we haven't yet got right as a council, and it's something that the community is always interested in knowing about. And when it comes to the public consultation process for the budget, it's because there's so many different options and so many different line items, it's very inaccessible, I think. So whilst I take the point that the general manager has just made, I will also like to agree with Councillor Fox's intention about trying to improve the transparency and the participatory nature of budgeting. But for the purposes and the intent of this particular policy at this time, I think it is a robust one, and I think it fixes or it goes some way to addressing some of the issues that Councillor Reid was so right to raise. So thank you. Yeah.
Now the lights are on. Councillor Westwood, would you like to sum up? Motion, it's been amended. So it was moved by Councillor Westwood and seconded by Councillor Midgley. I'll just read it. That Council A add a new item number in the policy to read 5.2.1.4. The chair of the meeting may ask a councillor or staff member to leave the meeting if they disrupt the workshop's proceedings or do not behave in accordance with their respective codes of conduct. And B, the Council adopt the Council Workshop Policy 1.19. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion is carried. Next item is the Kimbra Bicycle Advisory Committee, which is on recommendation on page 210. Just move a different motion if you want, unless Councillor Fox wants to move the recommendation.
Yeah.
Unless Councillor Fox wants to move.
No, Councillor Midgley, do you not want to move it?
So it's not. Yeah. So just say what your motion is, or is it already up on the screen? If you give the heads up.
Sorry, I would like to change B. Ms. Morton has the wording, so it's basically the motion that the committee put. I'm going to read it out. That Council write to the Department of State Growth to request a shared path be built on the Algona Road reservation to link the Algona Road underpass to the shared path on Channel Highway that leads to the new Huntingfield Park and Ride site.
Seconder, Councillor Fox. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. So, Mayor, just to clarify, I'm speaking to the amendment, is that right? Or the whole motion?
Moved. With no one wanting to move the recommender, I just took you to put...
Great. Thank you. So the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee was actually the first meeting of the new committee. It was really great. And some of the motions that are put here actually relate to some of the things that we couldn't actually discuss in regards to the park and ride and the linkages. So the bike committee met on site, and thank you, Mayor, also for coming down on one of our sort of site visits to have a look at the Huntingfield Park and Ride and the lack of linkages, active transport, not just cycling, but actually walking, safe walking linkages to the park and ride. The motion, the B that I have changed, was actually one that was actually put to the committee, and after speaking to Mr. Reeve today, I requested that we could actually put the motion that the committee agreed on versus just keeping it as was in regards to just making it a high priority route in the bicycle plan. I think it's important that we write to State Growth to let them know that this area actually needs more to the park and ride site if we are to fit that whole congestion busting package to encourage people to get out of their car and to actually ride or even walk to the park and ride site. So that's why the change of this one. And the second one, the 1179 Channel Highway, just to give a bit more information in regards to that. So while we were again on site, we saw some surveyors out perhaps at the land that is there, which is opposite Mitre 10, and some of the members of the bike committee actually thought that perhaps this was going up for sale. And again, if I encourage all councillors to go and have a look at this, because it is a future thing to be aware of. So we've got one footpath on the side of the Mitre 10 side, and then there's no footpath on the other side. And so hopefully if this land does ever come up for sale, it would be good to have conversation with the developer that actually a footpath is put there. Again, we want people to walk and ride and all that sort of thing. But after chatting to Mr. Reeve, the recommendation from staff is different because there is no development application at the moment. But I just think for all councillors just to be aware of that important matter as well. In regards to D, the submission to state government, requesting planning standards for park and rides. As we heard from our council staff today, there are no planning standards for park and rides and there are no planning standards for the parketeer. So some of the submissions in the park and rides that we read in our report around the parketeer stations, again, we couldn't talk about those as well, and it's really a shame we have a voice on KBAC that we can't, you know, make any changes to the parketeer stations because there is no actual standards. And the last one, sorry, I'm just reading that one again, the note, the walking and cycling provision associated with the subdivision of land in the hunting field. And again, that's just all about linkages. So it's really great to have a really active KBAC committee who are aware of the linkages are really important, and that's why they've put these motions to the committee that I hope that council can support. Please ask any questions if you have any.
No other lights on at the moment. In that case, the motion moved by Councillor Midgley and seconded by Councillor Fox. I can't remember which bit was added. B. Yeah, so it's as printed in the agenda with the inclusion of B, which is Council right to the Department of State Growth to request a shared path be built on the Algona Algona Road. Oh, it's a change.
So B is a change.
A change, sorry. Algona Road reservation to link the Algona Road underpass to the shared path on the Channel Highway that leads to the new Huntingfield Park and Ride site. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion's carried. We're at CAT prohibited areas. So, page 225. Councillor Reet and then Councillor Midgley. Councillor Reet.
Thank you. Look, I was keen to move this because I've had a great interest in the CAT management strategies that Kingborough Council has been, I believe, one of the leading councils or the leading council in Tasmania when it comes to how we deal with CAT management. And I wanted to just clarify what this process is. What we're actually asking tonight is to put out for community consultation the proposal to classify these areas around the Peter Murrell Reserve as CAT prohibited areas. Peter Murrell Reserve is already a CAT prohibited area, and in fact we have other CAT prohibited areas in other parts of the municipality as well, around the Boronia Beach area and Suncoast Track and so on. And they are a very important part of ensuring that we are able to protect the wildlife that are there, because anyone who has ever been a cat owner will know how much if you let them outside they will roam. And it's very interesting to know that when there was a study a few years ago where cats were actually tracked with GPSs, there was one cat that in 24 hours managed to walk 4 kilometres, visited something like 16 neighbouring houses, a nature reserve and countless other places. I mean, I struggle to get my 10,000 steps up in a day, and this cat is obviously doing it on a regular basis. And so, you know, we do know that, the average domestic cat will kill 74 animals each year. A stray cat will kill 750. And this is why we need to really have areas that are protected and that people who live within those areas are fully aware that areas nearby them are cat prohibited so that they can take steps to keep their cats inside. Now, what will happen under these areas if they end up, because they will come back to us after the community consultation, is that if somebody's cat is found in those areas, then it will be contained and council will seek to reunite the cat with their owner if they are microchipped. But it is important, and I think it's even more important when you look at what is said in clause 2.1 of the report, which talks about the number of native animals and bird species that are actually in Peter-Murrell Reserve. 90 different bird species have recorded in the area and 19 different native animals. That is really significant. A number of them are threatened, and so it's critical that we can enact this. I have a personal view, which is about even more stringent cat control measures that, unfortunately, the state government, in their wisdom, when they did amendments to the Cat Management Act of 2009, did not decide to proceed with. They've decided to go with desexing and compulsory microchipping and so on. I would take it further and say containment, because I understand how they can wander and they can cause great harm into sensitive environmental areas. So I endorse this. I look forward to it going out to the community. It does say in the report that the community members who live within sort of a half a kilometre radius of these areas identified will be personally letterboxed, and, of course, it will also be put out on our social media and elsewhere. So I look forward to this coming back to us at a future time.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. I echo your sentiments, and surprisingly to my father especially, that I own a cat and have been very conscious to keep it inside my residence, except when the kids run outside the door sometimes. But I'm very conscious of this, so it is. This even puts perhaps, you know, even stronger measures for families and children to educate around the importance of keeping the cats contained. So, and this also, I think, is really exciting, and I thank the council staff for the advocacy in regards to this, because, as we all know, there is a proposal for a major development, housing development, adjacent to the Peter-Murrell Reserve, which I walk in regularly, and it is a really amazing place, and we are so lucky to have the species and birds that Councillor Reach identified there. So it is really, really fantastic, and yeah, I look forward to the community consultation and letting the community of Howden know about this, because it's a very regular topic of discussion on a Howden Facebook page if a cat gets out.
Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm delighted that we're about to commence the process to declare these areas cat-free. I think what we should also be doing, as a side to that, is talking with Parks and Wildlife to see what they're doing in Peter-Murrell. It's not unusual for people to walk through Peter-Murrell, report cats. There's no point in us making ours cat-free. And yes, but what are they doing? Because I'm getting reports back, and even their own letter says that they're spotting cats. So are they active in doing anything or not? Because what I was going to say, there's no point in us being cat-free if cats are coming from elsewhere to our area. So we need to ensure the Parks and Wildlife are also looking at doing it. So we need to put the pressure on Parks and Wildlife to do something with cats on Peter-Murrell. So if it's cat-free, that's fine, but what are they doing is what we really want to know so that we can work together rather than we're working and they're not, shall we say, being active in that area. But I do support it, Mayor, and welcome it.
Councillor Cordover.
Thank you, Mayor. Very briefly, I'd like to lend my voice to the to all my colleagues who are in support of this. As we know, cats are they're wonderful as pets and they are great companion animals, but of course they come with big risks, and so we need to make sure that we keep our cats inside. And interestingly enough, a source of terrific information is actually on the Kingborough Council website. When you look under the cats section there, at least 627,000 native animals are killed in the Kingborough municipality alone each year by domestic cats. So we know that by declaring these cat prohibited areas, that will increase our protection from domestic and stray cats, but more needs to be done. And so whilst I absolutely welcome this and I encourage all my colleagues to do the same, I also would like to take the opportunity to mention to the general public that everyone should have their cat de-sexed. Identify your cat as a pet by microchipping it so that when somebody finds it, it can be identified and safely returned. Never dump your cats and kittens. Never feed stray cats or feral cats, and keep your cats from roaming. There's heaps of information available on the Kingborough Council website and great brochures like the Indoor Cats brochure. Thanks very much, Mayor.
Mm. Very good. Councillor Reid. Okay. The motion moved by Councillor Reid and seconded by Councillor Midgley is that Council resolves to A, commence the advertising and community consultation process associated with the intention to declare Algona, Coffee Creek and Huntingfield Reserves cat prohibited areas in accordance with Section 21 of the Cat Management Act 2009. B, receive a further report following community consultation. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion is carried. Page 228, would you believe it? Another cap one. Councillor Reid would move. Councillor Cordover will second. The recommended motion for those at home is on page 231. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. Look, it's good that we've also got this here tonight, and it goes further to what Councillor Cordover was just saying, that there is a lot of community education that needs to take place in relation to what is responsible cat ownership and what isn't. It was interesting on social media on a Kingborough community page recently, somebody posted a photo of them walking their cat around Kingston Beach, and she said, "I wonder if I could go on the beach with it." And there are a lot of people who replied, well, no, because what about toxoplasmosis and a whole range of things where you really shouldn't take your cat onto the beach.
Okay, you can't take your cat on the beach.
And you shouldn't either.
Okay.
No, you shouldn't. We actually don't have anything to say you can't.
Oh.
No. But you shouldn't take your cat onto the beach.
Just because it's embarrassing or...?
I'm not going to judge that. As we all know, I have tried unsuccessfully to put my cat on a leash. Let's not go to that story again. We've all heard that. But look, in all seriousness, once again, this has been an exercise of joining up the 12 Southern Councils to have a regional approach to cat management. And what's really pleasing is that there was a great deal of involvement by a number of bodies like the RSPCA, the 10 Lives Cat Centre and the Australian Vets Association. And they've come up with a vision, but importantly, they've come up with 8 areas of focus and some outcomes. And a lot of it does go to some of the things that we've talked about tonight, like uncontrolled cat breeding, welfare concerns. Cat hoarding is a thing. Like, I had 3 at one stage. I'm not even anywhere near the cat hoarding, but cat hoarding is unfortunately a concern, and we know that from past discussions we've had about a residence on Bruny Island where there were literally 120 cats in the residence. So there are a range of issues with stray cats, but also people understanding and getting help on how they can contain their cat. So there have been some resources that have been produced and promoted by the regional group that I am very proud to say that Kingborough Council played a significant role in. And, I'm really pleased to see this. It has been retained flexible enough to allow each of the 12 participating councils to implement it as their resources and priorities would allow them to. I am sure that Kingborough will continue to lead the way when it comes to cat management, and I do hope that eventually that the state government catches up and says we need to have mandatory cat containment, because I think that that is the answer for the future. But I'll leave that soapbox for another day and just endorse this for now, and hope that others will do the same.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you, Councillor Reid, for those words. Something I wanted to add into this is that we should be proud as a council that we are leading the way in cat management initiatives in Tasmania. And it's something that I think the community is pleased to see, that we are able to take that leadership position and provide an ongoing demonstration to the rest of the community that we take cat management seriously, and that we see that there are so many positive benefits that come from keeping cats healthy and safe by keeping them indoors and by following these guidelines that are in the strategy. Importantly, we're aware of all the harm that cats cause, but I think something that the strategy is good in that it recognises that cats are important for our way of life, and we do acknowledge the role that they play, and people love their cats. But we are in a biodiversity emergency, and so it isn't just about protecting animals for the sake of protecting animals. It's about recognising that the time that we are in and indeed our Kingborough Council strategy acknowledges this, that we are in a climate change and biodiversity emergency, and we have strategies in place to respond to that. And that's part of what being involved in cat management does. I would like to pay particular thanks to our regional cat management coordinator, our cat management officer, and of course the authoriser of this report. Our wonderful staff have gone so far to make sure that we are leading the way in this space, and I think it's a great inspiration that we can reach out and lean more into climate action, because this council does have the capacity and the talent to do that. And the Southern Tasmanian Regional Cat Management Strategy is a great result, and I'm so proud of our council and our council staff for leading the way and setting the example for others to follow. Thanks.
No, I can't on the record. I'll tell you after the meeting, though. Councillor, would you like to sum up? That's very good. The council endorses the Southern Tasmania Regional Cat Management Strategy, as moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion is carried. The next item is the Copping Refuse Site Joint Disposal Authority proposed rule change. Recommendation is on page 267. Who'd like to move? By Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Westwood. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. The proposal is for a minor change to Rule 219 of the Copping Refuse Site Joint Disposal Authority's rules. It's a very convoluted process because, of course, it's a joint authority established under the Local Government Act. The very convoluted process is adequately given in the report, so I'm not going to repeat it. Suffice to say that one of the steps in that process is that we endorse the proposed amendment. The proposed amendment is that when the authority approves a dividend, it may only be they may only declare a dividend that's not in excess of the amount recommended by the board. That seems entirely reasonable, and I am happy to support the motion.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a quick question. Will other councils be passing this motion who are involved in...
Yes.
Okay.
No other contributions. The motion was moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Westwood, and the motion is as printed in the agenda. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion is carried. The next item is confirmation of minutes to be dealt with in closed session. And the motion is that in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items. Confirmation of minutes, application for leave of absence and delegated authority. Moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, motion is carried. In accordance with the Council Meeting Audio Recording Guidelines Policy, we now close this part of the meeting, and it's adjourned at 9:15 p.m. Thanks to everyone for